This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Gender politics is emerging as a major theme on the presidential campaign trail, and we will talk about the women's vote, gender issues, and more coming up during this edition of On the Campaign Trail. But first, I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins on this last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. We don't have much longer to ask for your support. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps pay for the programs that you love.
And last hour, we heard from 11 new and returning members, so thank you very much for those pledges. This hour, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500. Holy cow. This generous match is from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Ernabel Mattishaw, and it means they're going to match every dollar you give. So it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, thank you, thank you to 9XM Leadership Circle member Ernabel. Way to go, Ernabel. Thank you for that dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500. Your pledge will go a lot further right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, on the Ideas Network, you hear from the person who wrote the bill or who wrote the book, who has unique expertise, and we're glad to seek these people out and get them on the show for you. Privileged, in fact, to do that. But it's your support that makes it all possible. So make great radio happen right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, and every pledge helps pay for the programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And during this drive, you can also ask for the 2016 WPR Artist Mug when you give $13 a month.
This is the fifth mug in our annual Artist Mug series. It's designed by Chris Gargan, a landscape painter from Dane County. The art work is on an oil painting inspired by rural Wisconsin. Ask for your mug when you give $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, my name is Tom. I drive truck for a living, and I always look forward to when I can tune into 90.7 WHAD.
Many Americans cannot afford to eat the healthy foods needed.
WPR, to me, is a respite from all the usual noise and mindless chatter of most commercial radio stations. It's great to be tuned into WPR as I tick off the miles on the highway. It makes the world seem a little closer to me, and it brings the issues and discussions of the day a little closer to home.
You can pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking for your support on this last day of our spring membership drive. You decide how much to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And it's the last day of our spring membership drive, and this is the last time on this program, on the Joy Cardine Show at least, that we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500. So your pledge of $50 will become $100, $100 will become $200, and so on. You get the idea. So it's a great time to make that pledge. Today's the last day. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The beauty of making a voluntary donation is that you decide how much to give, because how much you give isn't as important as the fact that you do give.
Since contributing is your choice, and because WPR is something you value, you'll probably find that donating feels pretty good. And you can find that out right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Many new members give $5 or $10 a month, but you decide the amount that's right for you.
Today is the final day of the spring membership drive, and our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect up to $5,500. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And don't forget, when you make your pledge, ask for the 2016 WPR Artist Mug. It's yours when you give $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to a member from Lake Tomahawk who says, when I begin my 1.5 hour commute in the darkness every morning, ooh, I am uplifted by Wisconsin Public Radio and flooded with warm memories. I've lived all over the country and have found that as long as I can listen to WPR, I can always feel at home.
That's very nice.
That's so sweet.
Yeah,
that kind of chokes
you.
Me up a little bit, because that is. We are Wisconsin Public Radio is home. It's a sense of place. It's Wisconsin. It's a gem of Wisconsin, and it's here because of you, because of listener support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Bill. We will talk to you a little bit later. On this edition of On the Campaign Trail, we are going to be talking about gender issues, women's issues. This week, Donald Trump ramped it up a bit. He, in the past, accused Hillary Clinton of playing the woman's card and said if she weren't a woman, she wouldn't be getting more than 5% of the vote. This week, he called her an enabler for former President Bill Clinton's past infidelities. Said Hillary Clinton hurt the women, was terrible for the women. Meanwhile, the chair of the Democratic Party said Donald Trump is alienating women every time he opens his mouth. A PAC supporting Hillary Clinton released an ad attacking Trump for his past disparaging remarks about women. So we're going to talk about the issues that are important to women in the presidential race. We will wonder if you think Hillary Clinton only has her gender going for her. Do you think Donald Trump would be, as he says, fantastic for women or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Kelly Dittmar, an assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University, Camden, and scholar at the Center for American Women and Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics. She manages the center's Presidential Gender Watch 2016 project, which tracks and analyzes gender dynamics in the presidential race. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So for better or worse, gender politics, gender issues seem to be coming to the forefront of this presidential election and getting kind of nasty this week especially. have you ever seen anything like this before?
I think it's been more overt than we've seen in the past. We know that gender dynamics have been at play in campaigns forever. But this year, we're really seeing it at the national level, very explicitly, and I think in some ways we're actually reacting to it more negatively in terms of the sexism or gendered comments that are put out there, and that creates more attention to it. So in some ways it may be some evidence of evolution that we're calling out things that seem to be unfair. At the same point, it does bring out some evidence that we are still navigating a gendered world of politics. In other words, some folks have tried to, say that we're beyond gender. Well, clearly we're not. And when we hear the comments that we've heard lately, we look at how voters are behaving. We know that gender is definitely at play in campaigns today, and particularly at the presidential level.
Yeah. Donald Trump said many women will only vote for Hillary Clinton just because she's a woman. Said if she were a man, maybe only 5%, she'd only be getting 5% of the vote. He also said he would be, quote unquote, fantastic for women. What do you make of his statements?
Sure. I mean, it continues Donald Trump's sort of hyperbole, right? So if you do that math, if you argue that only 5% of the vote would go to Clinton if she weren't a woman, it goes against any research we know and we have and the data we have even on this election that demonstrates, first of all, that gender and being a woman has often been a hurdle for women running for office, not an advantage. And in this race, it would assume then that at least 55% of the Democratic primary electorate was voting on the sole basis of biology. And that's something we know not to be true. We know that voters vote primarily on issues and on party. And so the idea that people are just voting for Hillary Clinton on gender in and of itself is incorrect. And I think he perpetuates this belief at his own peril and his own risk, because you have women who for many years, not only in politics, but in business and in other realms, have been questioned about their qualifications for the job. And so they can empathize with Clinton, even if they don't like her, because of these sorts of claims that she's only there because she's a woman.
Many surveys, polls have shown that about 70% of women have an unfavorable view of Trump. What specifically do you think is behind this?
Yeah, so we've seen that unfavorability among women grow, and I think this is an important piece of data. Michael Tesler just put a piece in the Washington Post for Monkey Cage that demonstrated over time in this election you've seen an increase in unfavorability to Donald Trump among women, but a real sort of stable number in terms of favorability among men. So I think obviously in one direction it's a reflection of women recognizing the comments he's made about women and potentially being offended by those, right? You don't tend to like people who say negative things about you and about people like you. At the same point, they're getting to know Donald Trump more. So as the Republican race whittled down, people pay more attention. And the more women are paying attention, it seems, the more they're not liking him. I think the flip side is important, too. So if you don't see an decrease in unfavorability among men, it then puts into question what some have been saying, well, maybe he can make up for his unfavorability among women by catering to male voters. But that doesn't seem to be the case. While he's increasing the margin slightly in some of the general election polls among men, it's definitely at this point not enough to make up for what he's losing among women.
And that being said, there are women who do support Trump despite of a lot of what he said. Why do they like Trump?
Sure. I think it is important. We often paint men and women in broad brushstrokes, particularly talking about the women's vote. And we know that the women's vote is not monolithic. And so it varies by ideology and party, race, age, all of these things. So surely there are women that like Donald Trump, and there are various reasons why. One thing we've seen in polls and heard from some pollsters about this is one thing among Republican women that is desired or looked for in a candidate is an ability to deal with national security, that those security concerns are even more important among Republican women than sort of women more generally. And some of those women see Donald Trump as strong on national security. So when he uses sort of tough rhetoric in dealing with foreign policy or even domestic policy in terms of talking about the wall and immigration, that might appeal to a certain subset of Republican women looking for somebody who's going to not only sort of protect the nation, but protect their families. Mm-hmm. And he's talked about this as well, right? He said things like, women want to be protected. I think the danger, again, that he falls into is women may want to be protected, but they also want to be respected. So at the same time that he's talking about national security, protecting the country, which may appeal to women, he's got to be careful not to at the same point be insulting women or even taking a sort of very paternalistic position that women need to be protected.
Yeah. So at the same time, though, women aren't as an entirety flocking to Hillary Clinton.
If I remember
correctly, polls are showing that if you're 55 or older and a woman, you might be more likely to support Hillary Clinton, but the younger women are supporting Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, we've definitely seen a generational difference. I think you can account for a lot of the generational difference across gender. In other words, we've seen for a long time in U.S. politics that younger voters are more likely to align with the candidate who is both sort of more liberal and, importantly, more aspirational or inspirational. Bernie Sanders has promised a revolution, right? He's promised to really change the system as it is, to challenge the status quo. And he's promised big things like free college tuition, like healthcare for everyone in a way that we beyond Obamacare. And these sorts of promises are appealing to young voters. They want a candidate to promise them things that will sort of change drastically the reality that we have now because they don't like it. And what we're seeing on the flip side with Hillary Clinton is she's sort of been positioned and often positioned herself as the pragmatic candidate. And so when you have idealism versus pragmatism, often what we see is younger voters are more likely to choose that idealism. And so I think that across gender, men and women of a younger generation are really appealing, or Bernie is really appealing to them on that vein. And Hillary Clinton's pragmatism isn't as attractive. The question then becomes, though, will those voters, both men and women, shift over to Hillary Clinton for the general election, or as some have argued, will they either not vote or vote for Trump? And I think as long as Bernie Sanders rallies around and unites with Hillary Clinton, you will see that shift over. The last thing is that we do see among young voters a gender gap, meaning that even among younger voters, women are still more likely than their male counterparts to support Hillary Clinton. So there is a persistent gender gap even across age ranges and even among generations where the majority of voters are supporting Sanders right now.
We will talk more about the importance of the so-called women's vote and other developments regarding gender dynamics on the campaign trail in a few moments, and we will welcome your questions. We'll welcome your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. But before we do that, let's talk about the last day of our membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and your support keeps the Joy Cardine Show on the air and all the other WPR programs that you count on. Our spring membership drive ends today, and your gift of any amount will make a big difference. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Joy, we've got a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle member Ernabelle Mattishaw. And your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 becomes $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is On the Campaign Trail, and we are talking about gender politics emerging as a major theme of the presidential campaign. And we will continue our discussion with our guest in just a few moments. But I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking you to support Wisconsin Public Radio on this last day of our spring membership drive with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And that pledge will be doubled this hour.
I was going to say, we're making some headway on that $5,500 challenge match this hour. We're coming up on about the halfway point, which is nice to see this early in the hour. And act now and get your pledge doubled, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What does public radio mean? Well, public radio means listener-supported radio.
And while we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support is the single largest source of WPR's budget. Your contribution of any amount really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you pay your bills online. I bet you don't miss all the extra paper and envelopes floating around the house.
Support WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer. You choose a monthly amount that works for you, say $10 or $20, and you set it up to come out of your credit card or bank account. It'll roll over each year, so your support of WPR will always be current. It's very easy to do at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And it
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my
source for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
If you can, share your passion for WPR by becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle with your pledge of $100 a month or more. We rely on member support, your support, to make great radio.
Gifts of $100 a month, that's $1,200 a year, are important for the future of WPR. They help us stay strong and continue to grow. You can do so with a leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's about 7:30. Make a difference before you even leave the house this morning. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll have made a great start to your day.
And if you waited until this last day, you waited for a great hour, because we have the is it the last day to pledge, but we have this dollar for dollar match still in effect, up to $5,500 from current members. And we do appreciate these generous donations to encourage you to make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. It will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Get your pledge doubled. So if you can do, say, $10 a month, these 9XM Leadership Circle members will kick in another 10, and $20 becomes 40, and so on. But act this hour. You've got 30 minutes left. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, here's a touching comment. John from Madison says, every day on my drive to and from work, I listen. I plan to give every day, and then I get to the office and I forget. I know how that is.
Yep.
I leave in July for a Navy reserve obligation for a year in Bahrain.
Wow.
I suspect that I will find myself streaming WPR. Thank you. Wow, John. Thank you so much for pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can pledge, too, and we need your pledge. This is listener-supported radio. We have this dollar-for-dollar match going on. It will double your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. Back now to our discussion on the campaign trail. Every week at this time, we discuss issues that are making news on the campaign trail. And this week, Donald Trump accused Hillary Clinton of being an enabler in Bill Clinton's past infidelities. He said that Hillary Clinton would hurt women, that she hurt the women involved. We are talking about issues that are important to women. We're talking about gender politics on the campaign trail. We're wondering which candidate do you think is better for women? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kelly Dittmar, an assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University. She manages the center's Presidential Gender Watch 2016 project, which tracks and analyzes gender dynamics in the presidential race. We have a caller, so let's go to Larry in Kingston. Hi, Larry.
Hi, good morning. When I look at Hillary Clinton, I look at her as a candidate for president that'll build on relationships domestically and around the world. When I look at Donald Trump, he's out to tear things up, and I don't think he'll build relationships. I think he'll tear down the relationships that we have now, and will hurt this country overall with his erratic behavior and erratic attitude towards things.
And I would think that's an issue that's important to men and women, Professor Dittmar.
I think that as I was mentioning before, things like national security, concern about your position in the world are really important to all voters. And I think it's sort of then how do you evaluate these two top candidates? And where Hillary Clinton comes in with an advantage that maybe she didn't have as strongly in 2008 is that she's now been Secretary of State, and she can use that record and that position to tout not only, you know, her experience in government, but her experience in foreign policy and her diplomatic roles across the world. Of course, on the flip side, conservatives will turn back to Benghazi in instances like that to try to question that experience. But it will be hard, you know, coming to a debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for him to sort of match her on foreign policy expertise and demonstrate that he's really handled and has a good sense of what the U.S. position is in the world and how he's going to maintain that.
Well, we talked about how the women's vote is not just some singular voting bloc, but how important is the so-called women's vote in this election?
Sure. The women's vote or women voters, you know, have been essential to elections and particularly presidential elections for decades now. Since 1980, we've seen a persistent gender gap, not only in turnout, where women are more likely than their male counterparts to turn out in an election, but we also see a persistent gender gap in who they vote for. So women voters overall are more likely to vote for the Democratic candidate. And so they are an essential piece of the Democratic base in particular. And for Republicans, that means trying to cut into support among women. And for Democrats, it means securing that base. And I should say that even more so, women of color and black women in particular have been essential to expanding or maintaining the size of that gender gap. And so in 2008 and 2012, we saw that black women voters were really the most reliable Democratic voters. They voted at the highest rates of any other race and gender subgroup, and they voted at about 96% for Barack Obama. So if Hillary Clinton should be the nominee, she needs to, in particular, maintain that support among women of color, among black women, and that enthusiasm to turn out at high rates in November.
A pro-Clinton super PAC recently released an ad that begins with Trump remarking that nobody respects women more than Donald Trump. And then the word really pops up on the screen, followed by some quotes from Trump in various situations insulting various women, along with some ominous music. Let's take a listen to an excerpt from this ad.
She came to my wedding. She ate like a pig. And seriously, the wedding cake was it was like missing in action.
Did right. She have a good body? No.
Of course.
Did she have a fat ass? Absolutely.
Well, I just don't respect her as a journalist. I have no respect for her. I don't think she's very good. I think she's highly overrated. But when I came out, and, you know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
That's Donald Trump insulting Rosie O'Donnell, Kim Kardashian, and Fox News's anchor Megyn Kelly. Professor Dittmar, what's your reaction to the ad?
Well, I think these are the types of ads we're going to see not only at the presidential level, but we're going to see down ballot in Senate and congressional races across the country. And we're already seeing them. For example, Ann Kirkpatrick, who's running against John McCain, put out an ad like this already about 2 months ago. Connor Eldridge, who's running in Arkansas, put out an ad like this against John Boozman. So this message that Donald Trump is misogynistic, that he's bad for women, that he represents the worst of the Republican Party, is what candidates, I think, and PACs across the country are going to use against him. And it could be really effective, right? Because we've seen that women voters sort of empathize with these sorts of attacks. It's not as if women haven't heard these things before, focus on their appearance or derogatory comments. And so even, again, for folks who may not vote for or like Hillary Clinton, they may see more negatives or increase their unfavorability of Donald Trump, be more likely to stay home or vote against the Republican candidate if he's aligned, these comments are aligned with them. Lynn Zavrick and John Gear posted some some findings in the New York Times about how these sorts of ads, how effective they were on men and women voters. And what they found was that among women voters, they increased unfavorability ratings by about 19 points after the women saw an ad like this. On the flip side, for men, it was about even. But in either case, again, if Donald Trump wants to win, he's going to either need to increase his support among women significantly or increase his support among men even more so. And these ads are not helping him in either of those cases.
And also earlier this week, Trump called Hillary Clinton an enabler of her husband, former President Bill Clinton's affairs. He warned he was going to go into this territory. How fair is it, and how successful is this likely to be for Donald Trump?
Sure. I mean, we'll see. I'm actually really curious to see. There's been some focus groups lately to look at how effective is this messaging among men and women, but there hasn't been some sort of, substantive large-scale measure. So it's unclear how effective or interested folks are in relitigating the impeachment trials of the 1990s. I think no matter what is interesting and potentially problematic with Trump's strategy, if he hasn't yet shifted from making the attack on Hillary Clinton as being bad for women to shifting to talk about how he is going to be good for women. So in talking about the fact that he respects or cherishes women, that he's going to protect women, I think he needs to, in order to really get women's support, even among Republican women, is move from those sort of vague comments to talking about, in his policies, what's going to really benefit women. So for Hillary Clinton, she's laid out particular policy strategies, things like equal pay. This week she released a child care plan. She's been talking about criminal justice with Mothers of the Movement. And so she shifted from not just saying, I'm going to be good for women, but to showing women how she believes she will be good for them. And I think Donald Trump eventually is going to have to shift to policy, because at the end of the day, that's what women across ideological lines really want to hear in deciding their next presidential candidate.
We are talking with Kelly Dittmar, an assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University Camden, scholar at the Center for American Women and Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics. And we'll take your phone calls for her with questions and views on gender politics in just a moment. But first, Bill Martins is here because we have a special challenge grant going on this very last day of our spring membership drive, and we need your contribution to keep this program and this station going strong. You can donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500 in effect right now, and we just passed the $4,500 mark, so
wow,
we're closing in on that. It's a great time to pledge because 9XM Leadership Circle member Ernabelle Mattishaw will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR, so double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have been enjoying and participating in this conversation about gender politics. It's an example of the informative hours that we do every day, especially every 7 o'clock hour here on The Joy Cardine Show.
Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, you can also get this year's artist mug when you give $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156. Your donation supports the programs that you count on, and you can also get this beautiful mug.
Yeah, this mug, it's USA made, features art by Chris Gargan from Dane County. It's an oil painting that captures the natural beauty of a Wisconsin meadow. It's really, really nice. So check out the design at WPR.org and ask for yours when you pledge online or call 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
You can feel good about it, too, when you make your donation in support of the programs you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, reminding you that we have a dollar-for-dollar match still going on if you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. We're looking for... Well, we just passed the $4,500 mark on our way to $5,500 because some 9XM Leadership Circle members want to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and they're going to match every dollar you give up to that $5,500 figure. So this is the last time we're going to have a dollar-for-dollar match during this pledge drive on the Joy Cardine Show. So if you like the program, make a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that WPR is listener supported. Well, we are. The single largest piece of our budget comes from listeners. Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard.
Well, you're still listening all these months or years later, so how about a donation now? Your gift of $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today is the final day of the spring membership drive, a brief spring membership drive to raise the funds needed to keep this program going strong, to keep this station going strong, and our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to support Wisconsin Public Radio and have that support go twice as far.
And remember to ask for the 2016 WPR Artist Mug when you give $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to a listener from West Bend who pledged and says, our family has donated from time to time, but WPR is a part of our family discussions and it connects us to the world. And we decided it was time to become a sustaining member. Thank you so much for that pledge. You can pledge too at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll hear from you at the end of the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about gender politics this hour with Kelly Dittmar, an assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University Camden, scholar at the Center for American Women and Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics. She manages the center's Presidential Gender Watch 2016 project, which analyzes and tracks gender dynamics in the 2016 presidential race. And certainly gender dynamics emerging as a major theme of the presidential campaign this week included. And we are examining this issue on the campaign trail this hour. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Shelley in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. When I first started listening, we were encouraged to give our thoughts on who we thought was better for women as far as the presidential candidates. And Donald Trump said that he was better for women because Hillary Clinton was an elite. And well, what does that say about women in politics? How are we going to have to get with this? She's worth more than her husband cheating on her. And attacking something that has to do with, oh,
yeah, I'm sorry, Shelley, we're losing you on your cell phone. Saying that Hillary Clinton has a lot more worth as a candidate than I guess her husband's past infidelity. Kelly Dittmar?
Yeah, I think that this is the reaction that Shelley noted a lot of women have to this attack, that why do we continue to tie the mistakes of a husband to Hillary Clinton, but not, again, not only in her case, but more broadly, why do we blame women for men's faults? And so we've seen that in the news and other stories this in the past year. And so I'm not sure that that is really an effective argument with the majority of voters, with the majority of women. Time will tell. It doesn't mean that some women don't see some effectiveness in that. They don't blame Hillary Clinton for some of his mistakes or think that she participated or, again, enabled him. But I do think Shelley's reaction is common among many women.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of talk about playing the woman card in this election. That's the phrase that Donald Trump used. But in a recent piece from NPR, you say Trump is actually playing the man card. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I think, you know, many months ago, Mitch McConnell made the same sort of claim against Hillary Clinton. He said, you know, the woman card's not going to be enough to win the presidential race. And the reality is that all candidates play the gender card in the ways in which they sort of navigate gender norms and expectations in campaigns. But for most of American history, it's meant that presidential candidates, both male and female, have just worked to prove that they're man enough for the job. So the presidency has long been sort of the territory of men and has been defined by masculinity. So candidates have played the man card in order to meet those expected credentials of the job, toughness, strength, assertiveness. And Donald Trump, probably more so than many presidential candidates in recent history, has really played into those stereotypes of masculinity. So he's tried to prove that he's the toughest candidate on a stage. He's emasculated or tried to emasculate his other his opponents, so by calling Marco Rubio Little Marco, by questioning Jeb Bush's strength, calling him weak, and questioning why he has his mommy on the campaign trail, all the way to explicitly touting the size of his manhood on stage. These are ways to sort of prove that you are the manliest candidate there, and again, that you meet those masculine credentials of being commander-in-chief.
Randy in Neillsville is with us. Hi, Randy.
Hello. I was just going to say that, you know, Trump has belittled men and women, individuals, and why would anybody say he's against women? Because he does it to men, too. And as far as Hillary being better at making ties with other countries, how'd that pushing the red button work?
Well, I don't know about pushing the red button, but let's Randy kind of made the point you were just talking about that Trump has insulted all the men on the campaign trail too. So he's right. Thinking, you know, what's the, you know, he just insults everybody. He's not necessarily just insulting Hillary Clinton because she's a woman.
Yeah, but I think this is really important. And one thing we're trying to do at our Presidential Gender Watch project is to say that gender doesn't mean women. So in other words, he's totally using gender strategies against men and women. So when he's attacking men, he's trying to prove that they're too feminine, right, or too girly, or they're sort of infantilizing them and saying he's the tough, strong protector. And when he's attacking women, he's using similarly gendered terms. He's questioning how attractive Carly Fiorina is, you know, calling her ugly. He's questioning Hillary Clinton's stamina and calling her an enabler, blaming her for Bill Clinton's infidelity. All of these things are very rooted in gender stereotypes and gender tropes that we've seen in politics for a very long time. So I would sort of agree with Randy. He is belittling men and women, but he's belittling men and women often on gender terms.
Let's go next to Josie in Sheboygan. Hi, Josie.
Yes, hi, good morning. I think Donald Trump, who is so crass and uncouth, to think that he's come this far, I believe that he spews out of his mouth what a lot of men think. And they're too, you know, they say those things among themselves, you know, cutting down on women and whatever. It doesn't surprise me a bit, you know, that most of the men are voting for him right now. And it's just so deplorable. I just can't believe that this guy is just, unbelievable.
So how much of Trump's message is playing to gender resentment, saying things that maybe a lot of men secretly think?
Yeah, I think there is definitely something to that. And it seems like if you're trying to sort of understand the motivation behind what he's been doing, particularly lately in calling out Clinton in the woman card, it seems that that's must be what his strategy or his strategists are thinking, right? That he can tap into this sense of gender resentment. But I'm not sure that that gender resentment is as widespread as maybe he thinks or others think. While we surely have, still sexism and gender stereotypes are well at play among men and women in our society, we are not beyond that. I do think that more generally we have made improvements enough that by appealing to that sort of gender resentment, he's still not going to be able to win an election. You know, this is a smaller subset of the population. There's been some recent research from the Public Religion Research Institute on sort of perceptions of discrimination and perceptions of if our country is too soft and feminine, right, sort of trying to tap into these beliefs. And overall, what they found is that among Trump supporters, there is some gender role traditionalism, right, that is more common, and therefore that sort of resentment, tapping into that resentment may work better among Trump primary supporters. The problem is he needs to win a general election electorate, and among those voters, the majority see gender discrimination as a problem, and so playing into that discrimination isn't going to appeal to that group of voters.
Peter on Facebook says, part of the problem is people evaluating candidates based on which one will be better for Group X. No, he says, which one will be better for the country? Or in this election, who's going to be least bad, least likely to do something wrong? What do you say to that, Kelly?
Sure. I mean, I think that there's always a point in making sure that we're not just talking about niches of voters, and also that we're not trying to argue, as I said earlier, that any group is monolithic in and of itself. But I do think that when he raises questions about women and he directly attacks women, or he talks about Hillary Clinton as only appealing to women, then that is fair game to ask then, what will he do for women and in comparison to what she will do? Again, when you're talking about the majority of the population, I don't think you're talking about any sort of special interest group, right? You're talking about over 50% of the population and a group that has largely for a long time been marginalized from politics. So it's worth having a conversation about how any candidate will not only appeal to women, but how their policies will affect women once they're in office.
Yeah, and as we wrap up, what do you expect to see in terms of the role of gender on the campaign trail in the future?
Well, I think we'll still be having this conversation as it doesn't look like Donald Trump is going to let up on his attack. But I think the question going forward, as I mentioned earlier, is for both leading candidates to really pivot to policy. Voters want to hear about policy plans, and I think Hillary Clinton is going to put Donald Trump's feet to the fire on his claims about women, not to get into the personal politics that he's been engaging, but shifting to say, okay, what are you going to do for women on policy? And I think ultimately that's what all voters, men and women, want to hear about.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kelly Dittmar, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Rutgers University, Camden. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins on this last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, hoping that in the next couple of minutes you will make a pledge of support to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Joy, our listeners have been coming through for us this hour. We were talking about that dollar-for-dollar match. We blew that out of the water.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy to say. And, you know, we didn't mention the our hourly goal of 50 pledges. We're at 58 right now. So great job, everybody. Thank you so much for your support. And as Joy mentioned, we still have a couple of minutes left this hour. And, you know, we will certainly put those pledges to good use and help support the Joy Cardine Show and the other programming you love here on Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You share every weekday morning with this program. Maybe your alarm clock wakes you up to it. Maybe you're driving to work with us on right now. Your morning wouldn't be the same without this program and our topics and our guests and this conversation. Pledge your support for these morning conversations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today's the last day of our spring membership drive. It ends at 6 o'clock tonight. Your financial support during this hour is more important than ever. Your gift is a big part of what makes this program and all the programs you rely on and enjoy possible on WPR. Take action right now and make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much to Patricia from Rochester, who says, I've been a longtime listener. I love the programs. It's an excellent way to keep up on news and learn about new and exciting topics. Thank you so much for your pledge. You can pledge, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.